The Larry Kudlow Show. Free market prosperity starts here. Now, here's Larry Kudlow.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow, and we're going to do some stock market work, but the stock market is ugly. Ugly. Best way I can say it. For the week, the Dow Jones was off 1,646 points. The NASDAQ, which is just getting creamed, that was off 1,125 points. NASDAQ's 14% below its peak of last November. And the S&P 500, the broad index, off 265 points. Everybody's done very badly in the new year. So let's talk to our guests. I'm going to blame our guests for this. Stephanie Link is Chief Investment Strategist, Hightower Advisors, Head of Investment Solutions. I'm going to blame her. And I'm also going to blame Ken Polcari, Managing Partner at Case Capital Advisors and Chief Market Strategist at Slate Stone Wealth. So, kids, you guys aren't doing all that well. The market has not had a happy new year. Here I am, saving America and killing the bill and stopping big government socialism and inflation and high taxes. And look what you're doing to me. I'm getting no reward for my efforts whatsoever. So, Stephanie Link, what is going on here? You tell us.
There's so much to unpack. And Larry, thanks for having us on. Kenny, it's great to be on with you again. In terms of what I'm watching, I mean, really, I think this past week was all about rate and the velocity of the move. The speed is always unwelcome when it's really quick and not expected. And while we all expected higher rates, as I mentioned, the speed, we've gone from 134 on the 10-year on December 3rd. We got as high as 187 on Tuesday. And I think rates are going up for the right reasons because the economy is doing better, especially post-Omicron. I think you're going to see another leg up in terms of growth, but it's inflation. We've got a normalized policy, and the Fed is going to do their thing. That's why they said they're going to. Are they behind the curve? Probably. Not as behind the curve, by the way, as the ECB and Lagarde, but we're behind the curve, and we're going to take action. And as a result of that, Larry, you've seen long duration assets. What is that? That's technology, that's growth, that's non-earners, which are, by the way, very over-owned. And they are selling off much, much harder than some of the more cyclicals, reopens, more of the value side of things. But everything got hit, to your point. But on a relative basis, you're seeing much more hit to the long duration assets. Look, we have right. Inflation. We know it. I think last week was also about the realization that, wow, we do. We had the hot CPI number the week before, the hot PPI number, the non-farm payroll number, the wages were 4.7. ECI is up there, too. And then this past week, we had Eurozone CPI at 5% and Germany's PPI at 24%. There's inflation everywhere, right? Mm. So we have to address it. We should take our lumps in terms of higher rates. And I just don't think 3 or 4 rate hikes is going to be that meaningful to growth. But right. People right now, they're just not positioned for it.
But I would just add a thought that 3 or 4 rate hikes is not going to do it. I mean, right. you got 7% inflation rate. You could call it 5% on the broader PCE deflator. But you've got the zero Fed funds rate is minus 500 basis points or minus 700 basis points. You got an unemployment rate of 3.9%. Ex Omicron, the economy is still pretty strong. We're probably going to have a weaker first quarter because of Omicron, I guess. But I'm just going to read some headlines here. Tech stocks just had their worst week since March 2020. As Peloton and Netflix scared investors. Another headline, Amazon stock just had its worst week since 2018. Goldman Sachs had a very big miss, which I think freaked out a lot of people. They were supposed to be doing so well. The banks were supposed to be doing so well. So, Ken Polcari, I mean, one question everybody's going to ask is how long is this correction going to last?
Listen, I think, you know, Stephanie, and then Stephanie, it's great to be on with you as well. I think that Stephanie makes all those points are valid. They're all correct. We all knew it was coming. We've been talking about it for months at the end of 2021, about what to expect when this started to happen. So none of this should really be a surprise. I think what's surprising a lot of people is the speed at which it's happening. But, you know, sometimes it's better to get it over with. I still think there's more downside because I do think, Larry, like you said, three or four may not do it unless, of course, those three or four are half-point moves instead of quarter-point moves that everyone's expecting.
Oh, I would love that.
Well, listen, I think there's a real possibility, I think, that the first move out of the gate would be a 50-basis-point move. And I think the last time the three of us were on, you actually brought that up. It was December, and everyone was kind of poo-pooing the idea. But I think that's absolutely a possibility. And quite honestly, I'm in that camp. I think they should, because I think it will kind of shock it a little bit. Maybe it'll cause a little bit more of a rumble on the way down. But guess what? No one should be surprised. Like Stephanie just said, the long-duration assets and the, you know, the tech stocks, which are overowned and the high growth and not earning any money, blah, 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 blah. That makes complete sense. And that's why the shift into the cyclicals. And look, energy's up another 15% year to date, or maybe it's up 13% after Friday, but it's still up. It was up 50% last year. It's up another 13% so far this year. Even financials, right up until the earnings started, you know, they were up close to 7%. Now they've adjusted a little bit, but those are going to be opportunities. Consumer staples were the best acting group yesterday. Once again, what's that tell you? Big, large, mega cap, boring consumer staple names, which I think we also talked about the last time we were on, is that that shift into, you know, big and beautiful but boring is going to be where people should be.
So let's see. Oil's $85.
Yep.
Brent crude, European crude, is $88. The 10-year is 177, so we'll call it 180. To Stephanie's point, it jumped up pretty fast. Oil jumped up pretty fast. Steph, I want to go to earnings and fundamentals, but what will a Russian invasion of Ukraine do?
Higher. $100 oil, maybe more.
Yeah.
The supplies are so lean right now, Larry. That's the whole reason why energy has done so well, because the companies, if you talk to every one of them, Kenny knows this just as well as I do, so do you. These companies have held back on production for a host of reasons, right? Mainly ESG related, right? And all of this, you know, getting into the clean theme, if you will, in whatever way, carbon neutral, whatever.
That's
happening. And so as a result, you're not seeing the production like you would normally see. You're not even seeing CapEx that much. Now, there are pockets within energy that actually benefit from that, and that's the services companies. And I got to tell you something. On Friday, Schlumberger reported, and they used the S word meaning super cycle, because of demand, higher prices, and lack of production, which is just going to keep everything really tight. So you have an issue with Ukraine. I think that we're going to have a lot higher prices. And then the Fed really has a problem on its hand, because commodities aren't going to roll over like they think they will.
Right. Kenny, I would love to see 50. Absolutely. That's where they should start. We should. When's the meeting? Is the meeting this week?
Meeting is Tuesday, Wednesday of this week. And remember, so on Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock or 2:30, we'll get the 2 o'clock he'll hit the tape and then he'll come out and make, you know, his presentation and all that. But don't forget, then in February there is no meeting. They got Humphrey Hawkins and all that, which doesn't mean the Fed can't move in February if they decide that they need to. People are under the impression that it's either going to be January or March. That in fact is not true. They could move in February if, you know, the data turns so strong that they say we need to make kind of an intermeeting move, and they could. But I would love to see out of the gate, I would love to see a 50 basis point move, because I think that's the right thing to do. But
Kenny, you know, the market is not anticipating that.
Agreed.
February, right? So that's for another down, to your point, right?
Right.
One thing, one of the, maybe the only constructive thing that Biden said at that 2-hour press conference, which I might add wrecked my Fox Business show, but whatever. I mean, we figured an hour. Nobody figured 2 hours. The meds were wearing off the last 15 minutes, but I give him credit. He stood up there for 2 hours. But he said he had a phrase about inflation. Inflation is not caused by his $5 trillion spending plan. It's all about the COVID. But he did say that the Fed was going to recalibrate policy. Whoa, a little Fed watching in there. So that was very interesting to me. Now, if you ask me, what is recalibrate policy, I have no idea. But he did say that. I just want to point that out. I don't know whether all the Fed, you know, the woke appointees to the Fed won't come on for quite some time. They've been nominated and they'll have hearings. So, you know, Jay Powell could move rapidly. My guess is, Steph, the faster you get this stuff out of the way, the better off you are. But I don't think it'll be that. It may not be that fast. It may be drip, drip, drip. In other words, I'm just asking, in all the Goldman profits, I think, freaked everybody out. These tech profits freaked everybody out. So are we heading into bear market territory?
I'll
start. You can finish, right. Because we're probably going to say the same thing. It's not earnings.
Right.
It's the multiple you're willing to pay on earnings.
Right.
Earnings actually quite good. Not at Tesla. Not at Netflix, and not at Peloton. Okay, we know that. A little squishy at Goldman because their comp and non-comp expenses went up. So same with J.P. Morgan. But guess what?
Right.
Morgan Stanley had a stellar quarter. They're talking about 20% ROTCE. That's just a fancy word of saying profitability. That's enormous for a stock trading at 12 times earnings. Bank of America also an excellent job in terms of costs. And Wells Fargo was the shining star. Everybody hated that thing last year, even in the face of it going up 60%, because it's a restructuring story and they're cutting costs. So you've got to be very, and I'll bet, Kenny, you agree with me, you've got to be very stock specific. You can't just just look at an entire industry with the same brush, because there's going to be winners and losers. But I think earnings are going to be good. I think multiples are capped. Because you've got the Fed, and I don't know if you're going to see 50 in any of them. Because I don't think Powell is he's too measured.
To your point, first of all, and Stephanie, kudos to you, because you actually were talking about the Wells Fargo story last year. And so, you know, that's a great story. It's turned out to be great. Like you said, they nailed it. And so it is a restructuring story. But here's the other part. I think there were two things that I want to say. Number one is that Biden gave... He opened the door, I think, and gave Jay Powell the ability to do what he wants when he said he doesn't control inflation. The Fed controls inflation, and they need to do what they need to do. So I think he opened the door and said, go for it, is what I think that subliminal message was. But here's the other thing to your point about valuation, Stephanie and Larry. You know, it's really a math problem, right? Because when rates were zero and inflation was 1.6%, then the valuations become X. But when rates go to 1% or 1.5% and then or 1.8% and inflation goes to 7%, when you change the input, the answer has to change. And the answer is valuations. And valuations will come down as a result of the inputs changing. So it's really a math problem. It's not necessarily, oh, my God, my hair's on fire. It's the end of the world. People just have to understand that math problem and then allocate accordingly.
Why don't we... Hang on, Steph.
Yeah.
We're on a new schedule for breaks and stuff because we're nationally syndicated now. Let's take the break now. I'm saying this to my producers. And then we'll come back with Stephanie Link and Kenny Polcari. Let's take the break right now. Give them some breathing room. And we'll come right back and finish this conversation because we've got much more to talk about. It's a very tricky moment in the stock market. I'm Larry Kudlow. I'm here with Stephanie Link and Ken Polcari, and we'll be right back.
Larry Kudlow on 77 WABC. From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.
All right, we are back with Stephanie Link, Chief Investment Strategist at Hightower Advisors and Head of Investment Solutions, and Ken Polcari, Managing Partner at Case Capital Advisors and Chief Market Strategist at Slate Stone Wealth. back to the fundamentals. Start with Steph. How are you on the profits outlook? Because you did have some jarring misses reported this week. Now, are those the exceptions or what?
Yeah, I mean, look, we've only had about 8% of the S&P 500 report, so a very small sample size, and definitely Netflix had an issue. But that's a competition issue, and that's a very high multiple stock. And so it was a 1-2 punch where they didn't deliver, and it's a high multiple stock, and now nobody wants these high multiple stocks. So it fell. The whole group fell, again, as I mentioned, because there's competition in streaming across the board. That's been loud and clear. So unfortunately, it's come home to roost for Netflix. Peloton has had issues for quarters now, and it doesn't even have profit. So, and they don't have a strategy at this point. They keep changing it. So that's kind of a mess. But I would say the banks really held their own. Even Goldman, I thought, was an overreaction. And the stock, actually, by the way, trades at 1.2 times book. That's very, very cheap. I think you can buy several banks here. I think you still want to own that group, even though, as Kenny mentioned, they have pulled back quite a bit. But that's your opportunity, in my opinion.
Right.
I feel good about at least the start of earnings. Now, this week, we have 21% of the S&P 500 companies that are reporting. We have Microsoft. We have Apple. We have J&J, American Express, Caterpillar, just to name a few. So we're going to learn a whole ton. But I do think earnings are going to be good. It's about the expectations. It's about the multiples that they're trading at. And that's why, as Kenny and I both have talked about, that's why the value in cyclicals are doing a little bit better. They're holding up relative. They're still going down.
Right.
But they're holding up relative. And overall, I think you're going to see maybe low double-digit earnings growth when it's all said and done.
You're going to go to 3% on the 10-year. So the multiples are going to be threatened, Kenny. Now, when you go to 3%, I have no idea, but I think, again, with a 5 to 7% inflation rate, and I don't think that's going to come down.
Right.
Some people do. I'm not in that camp. I just think that's a threat to interest rates and a threat to multiples.
It absolutely is, and I actually think that the inflation, I don't even think it's going to stay. I hate to say it. I'm in the camp that it's going to get worse before it gets better, right? Mm-hmm. So that it's potentially, could we see 10% inflation? I hope not. But could we see it if this continues? I think we could. And I think that's what's going to then cause a swifter, sharper move in the 10-year. So is 3% the number? Ultimately, yes. How fast we get there is going to determine how swift, the market adjusts, right? Whether, you can say how swift it's going to sell off. I'd prefer to say reprice. That's going to be where that is. So if you have that, I'm in the camp that inflation is going to get worse. So therefore, I'm expecting further downside. I agree with Stephanie. I think that, this week is going to be a big week because of earnings. Next week is going to be another big week. We are going to learn a lot. But this is going to be a very specific, this isn't going to be a broad ETF type of an investment environment. It's going to be very stock specific, I think. And I think those people that can weed through and pick the winners are the ones that are going to shine. And again, I would lean more towards the value and the value trade. I'm in the value trade for all of 2022.
Stephanie Link, you had November and December declines in retail sales. What do you make of that?
I think you have to add November and December together and average, right? Because we saw a pull forward in November, and we saw a little bit weaker in December. I think everybody, including myself, and perhaps both of you, I was nervous I wasn't going to be able to get anything for the holidays for my family and friends.
Right.
So obviously there was a pent-up demand and a pull forward. But I think the consumer is just fine. So here's one thing that I thought Jamie Dimon 2 weeks ago, before he reported earnings, it was like a Monday or Tuesday, he had comments that were basically said he highlighted the consumer. And I 100% agree, and we've talked about this a lot of different times. But we know consumers 2/3 of the economy. This is one of the reasons we always pay so much attention. He said balance sheets have never been better. Spending is 25% more than pre-COVID levels. Consumers have $2 trillion in checking accounts, and they're paying down debt. Debt-to-service ratios are the best in 50 years. We all know about jobs. They're aplenty. Wages are strong. And businesses are also flush with cash.
Gotta
all
leave
of that
it there.
Added together, I feel okay about the consumer. I really do.
Stephanie Link, Kent Polcari, that's the story. I'm Larry Kudlow, folks. We'll be back with Money and Politics on the other side of the break.